Hi, Lena. This is Michael. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Forgive me if I'm not. So you asked the question, how did I know? How did God speak to me to let me know Persis is the one?
Michael, commentary. Some new to this ministry may make that quick judgment that we can all make by human understanding, which might say something like this. Michael, God didn't give you that marriage to Persis because she went apostate and the marriage failed. You must remember, Michael, Jesus said, which of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? Ah, but let me remind you that those words were spoken by Jesus Christ, who after praying all night long to the Father about the disciples that he was to choose, was also given a Judas. We believe God only gives us gifts that will never turn sour or bring us any trouble in this life. But is it true in the Bible? Is there a precedent in the Bible where others may have felt like crying out against God, like Jeremiah saying, "You have deceived me"? I say to you, yes, all over the Bible. Let me just run you down a few examples that I've collected in some notes over the years that help us to realize we cannot contain God in any nice little comfortable doctrine box, and that God oftentimes shatters the delusion that we have in our current image of who he is based on what we've learned through YouTube or our Christian upbringing or our minister at church. And he reveals to us a very terrible, mysterious side that can only be embraced through a faith that is given to us from heaven. John 3:27. Have a listen to this. God blesses Adam and gives him a great wife in his loneliness in a way only he could do, exactly like God did with me and Persis. But then she, Eve, leads him to his death and ours. Genesis 2:22, Genesis 3:6. Number two, God blesses Adam and Eve with Abel. But then God allows the first son he gave to her, Cain, to murder Abel. Genesis 4:10. Number three, God blessed Joseph to be in charge of Potiphar's house, but then let him be falsely accused and thrown into prison by Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39:2 through 3 and 39:14. Elijah was sent and blessed in God's power against the 400 false prophets of Baal, but then ends up defeated of courage and running from a woman, Jezebel. Number five, God gives Samson his dream wife, despite his parents' opposition. But then God lets her be murdered in order to start a war between Israel and the Philistines, Judges 14:4 and Judges 15:6. Number six, God immensely blessed Job's life. Even Satan admitted to it, but then allows Satan to strip him of all of it, including killing his 10 innocent children. See Job chapter 1. Number seven, God has incredible mercy on Lot and his wife and their children, sending angels to help them escape fire and judgment in Sodom with his wife, but then God allows her to immediately be turned into a pillar of salt for one time looking back, Genesis 19:26. Number eight, God blessed David in battle so he could win Michal as his wife. You'll remember King Saul demanded 100 Philistine foreskins, and it was clear that Saul saw when he came back with 200 Philistine foreskins that God was with him. So he gets the wife, Michal, but then God allows Michal to despise David, and the Lord strikes her with barrenness, even eventually allowing Michal to become someone else's wife for a time. 1 Samuel 18:27 through 29. Number nine, God gave Hosea Gomer an unfaithful wife, and we can't even imagine how much public shame, ridicule, and then hidden pain he experienced as a result of that. Number 10, God gave Ezekiel a wonderful wife, whom that God would say she was the delight of his eyes, and then God killed her in one blow to make her a sign to rebellious Israel. Ezekiel 24:16. Number 11, God gave Jonah a wonderful vine or a gourd to comfort him in the sun-scorched land. And Jonah says he was so happy about it. But then God sent a worm the very next day to devour it. Jonah 4:6. Number 12, he gave Jesus 11 faithful disciples after that whole night long of praying, but he also gave Jesus a Judas, a devil. Number 13, Jesus was heralded and honored as a king on a Sunday, and then 5 days later, he was dead on a cross. Number 14, the Apostle John, the one the Bible says was the disciple whom Jesus loved, ends up totally alone, totally isolated, in exile on the Isle of Patmos. 15, contemporary example, John Bunyan is freed from 6 years in prison, but then is soon after thrown back in for another 6 years. 16, God tells Madame Guyon to go to Geneva and tells her she will be used to bring many children to him, but then she gets thrown into a dungeon for 7 years, falsely accused by one of her mentors. Number 17, God told Brother Yun from the book The Heavenly Man and confirmed with others that he was to go train leaders in Shaanxi City to conduct 3 days of training for those who had been fasting and praying for 3 days for someone to come teach them the gospel. On day two of the training, Yun lost his voice. Then while resting, he was arrested, taken into the streets, tied up, accused of disturbing the peace and confusing the people. He was made to kneel down while the officers punched him in the chest and face and repeatedly kicked him from behind with their boots. His face was covered with blood, and then he was made to stagger down the streets to be an example to others. 18, the Lord blessed me with financial miracles to open the Lord's gym and then let it collapse 9 months later to the day, in public shame and ridicule. Number 19, God blessed me with 5 adorable children who loved me so much and whom I loved so much, and then allowed 4 of the 5 to be turned against me to the point of hating me. Not to mention this exact example that we're going to continue talking about with Persis. Brothers and sisters, if you bring a contemporary Christian view from the Bible, where you've received most of your teaching from a minister who probably doesn't know him very likely at all, or what you have heard so popularly preached on YouTube, the time will come, if you truly begin to walk with God, where you will become devastatingly upset and disappointed at this God because he doesn't match the image that has been painted into your heart by people who do not know him. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to Lisa and many more people. We were taught certain things about God outside of the Bible. We never really went and did that heavy Bible study, that slow meditative Bible study where we allowed ourselves to grapple with the issues that I've just shared with you in this recording. We've never then really had to come face to face with the fact that the Bible says of that God who just did all those things I told you and many more, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this thinking that God will only ever give you something, that will only ever bless you and comfort you and keep you in that state as long as it and you remain on the earth, is not true anywhere in the Bible, only in the delusional thinking of men who are deceived, men who are without the truth. And the quicker that we can humble ourselves before the great mystery of God, the great King who in the Bible it says the word of a king is supreme, who will say to him, what are you doing or why have you done this? The great Bible that says of that great king, if the Lord snatches away, who can say to him, what have you done or why do you do this? There is a great mystery in walking with God. And I just want to make this final point because I've got a lot of messages that I speak about this. And if this is something you're struggling with, I really encourage you to go to our search button on the website and search for when it looks like God has deceived you and watch that message. And then I've got even more messages coming where we talk more and more about embracing the mystery of God and why I, someone who's gone through the Bible and found all these things, and who has just as many actual real examples of this in my life. I only just gave you like three here, but I've got lots of examples of these reversals or things God would give and then it turns to powder, if you will. And why am I still believing this God? Why am I still preaching that he's good, that he's faithful, that he's kind, that he's loving, that he's just, that he's righteous in all that he does? Because I've been given a John 3:27 faith that I hope you have been given. And if not, ask him for it. The Bible says that a man can only receive what is given him from heaven, John 3:27. In order for you to be able to embrace and walk with the mystery of God and to John 7:24, look beneath the surface of these things that Jesus said so that you can make right judgments. You must be in possession of a heavenly faith that will allow you to see through and trust God in the mystery of it all. I'll now borrow a sentence to end this commentary from A.W. Pink, who I recently read, wrote, "Let us trust his heart when we cannot trace his hand." If you are walking with this God of the Bible, you will find so many things in this Bible that you will not be able to trace out his hand. You will find so many things in your life where you cannot trace out his hand. You will find so many times when you're not able to connect the dots between the circumstances in your life and between the idea that God is good, that God is in control, that he hasn't forgotten about you, that he hasn't forsaken you, that he's not all just cruel. But by faith, you can look beneath the surface and you can continue to walk with him and enjoy him, knowing that he is completely sovereign. He is far beyond your way of understanding, his ways higher than are the heavens above the earth than yours, and that he is indeed, you know this by faith, working all things together for the good. I want you to think about what I've just shared with you from the Word of God, what I've just spoken to you from God's heart. As you listen to me continue to tell this lady in this message about hearing from God, in light of the fact that while I'm making this message in India, not too far down the road in the near future, that good gift that I had enjoyed so much was going to be turned sour, was going to turn into ashes in my hand. And how is it that all these years later, I can sit here and still praise him? But you and I can now look back and see what the devil meant for evil, God has meant for good. And God has turned every step of that walk with him through terrible darkness and mystery for my good, and perhaps even for your good, and most importantly, for his glory. Amen. End of commentary.
So you asked the question, how did I know? How did God speak to me to let me know Persis is the one? I wish, and I know you wished, I could give you this quick, easy answer. But it's never that way with God. Imagine this. In the book of Acts, Paul says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me, telling me that I have prisons and hardships awaiting for me. Now imagine us asking, but how did he do that, Paul? How did the Holy Spirit warn you? I want to know specifically, what did he know? How did he tell us, right? So what you need to know, what's important about this is, it's not a matter of how God speaks to me. It's a matter of how God speaks to you, which is going to be primarily through his word, just like he did with me. But God has, I'm sure, a very unique providential way of speaking to Paul, just as he does with me, just as he will with you. What my experience has been is that if you are seeking God with your whole heart and you're fully surrendered to God and there's no pretense in your heart, meaning false motives, but that when you go to God, you sincerely want his best for your life, He is your greatest desire, and then you petition God for the other desires of your heart that you believe are in alignment with His will. In this instance, you're speaking of a spouse. Long before I believe God's going to give you a spouse, you will have learned how to hear God communicate about other things. You have to hear God. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. They follow me. John 8:47, those who belong to God hear God's voice. The reason you do not hear God is that you do not belong to Him. So God begins to speak to us. And what does that mean? Do we hear an audible voice? No. I've done a whole message about this. It's in the John 7:17 challenge. I do not remember, unfortunately, what day it is, but I think if you searched on my channel for Hearing God, it's a long message where I talk about all these different ways God has spoken to me. But the most important part, Lena, is to be wholehearted before God and to desire His will above all things, and then becomes God's responsibility to communicate it to you. I mean, I've had God speak to me in many, many different ways. 95% of the time, God speaks to me through His Word. But what God does is He has a very providential way of guiding me to the Word, okay? I don't want you to get caught up in that. That's really God's business. He can speak to you however He wants. But God used a particular language with me. And again, it's multiple different ways. It's not just one way. God literally, as I think about it, has spoken to me many different ways. Don't get caught up on how do I hear God about this. You need to get up caught up about, if I may say, how to hear God in general. I mean, God speaks to me by His Word, by His Spirit, providentially, through circumstance, guiding and directing me. And you learn over years how to hear God's voice. You just learn. And it's just like Paul. If the Holy Spirit warns him, how did it warn him? There's something that happened. Paul either saw a sign, he maybe had an internal conviction. He didn't have the scriptures like you and I do. I mean, he was writing them, right? So the Holy Spirit somehow or another had to do some manifestation. Could it have been a vision like Peter? Peter sees the vision of the sheet coming down with all four corners, you know, with all the animals and stuff like that in it. God can speak through dreams, albeit it's typically kind of rare. He can speak in many different ways. The problem is I'm concerned about telling it to you because I don't want you to put the hope in that. I don't want you to think, oh, God will speak to me that way. It's not likely. I can just tell you that I've spoken to thousands of people from all around the world in my ministry, and I've only ever heard of just a few other people that God has used the same exact way to speak to. But again, I cannot make this point heavily enough. It doesn't matter how God speaks to us. It only matters how God speaks to you. You got to hear what God's voice is. He knows your personality. He knows your temper. And I mean your temperament. He knows your intellect. He knows your sensitivities. He knows how to speak to you. So if He chooses to speak to you through a burning bush, that's not my business. You see? So I just want to encourage you to seek God and His will diligently. And I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, if you want to know God's will, here's the most important thing. God will speak it to you. If you want to know God's will, not your will be done, but if you want to know God's will be done, I promise you, if you're a child of God, elect of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will make His will known to you. I mean, God speaks. I mean, Timothy is told two times, all of us should think on these things this way. All of us who are mature should see these things this way. But if on some point you disagree, that too God will make clear to you. Well, how's He going to make it clear to him if He doesn't speak? Another instance, Paul tells Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying and the Lord will give you insight into this. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit teaches, 1 John 2:27, I believe it is. We have an anointing. So I want to encourage you, seek God's will. Let it be that you might say, but Mike, I'm already desiring His will. Listen, I had to prove that I wanted God's will more than I wanted anything. And it was very costly. So for me to get God to speak to me the way He does was very costly, because to follow Jesus is very costly. So in order to hear Jesus speak beyond the words that He spoken in the Bible, what is His personal will for your life? It's very costly, Lena. Give Him everything. You cannot lose, and God will speak and guide and direct. In the meantime, just know this. The Bible says there's already a plan and a purpose. Again, if you're an elect of God, you can know without a shadow of a doubt God already has a plan and purpose for you, and it was chosen long before you were ever even thought of by your parents. Psalm 25:12, who is the man or woman who fears the Lord He, God, will instruct them in the way chosen for them. So that Bible says, if Lena fears God, God will instruct Lena in the way chosen for her. A spouse is part of the way. Not having a spouse is part of the way. Where you live, what you'll do, who you do it with, how long you do it. This is the way chosen for you. I can tell you, I would not be sitting in India right now if I didn't know how to clearly hear from the Father. He gave me instructions and showed me the way that was chosen for me. Not just for me. He does it, as it says right there, for anyone who fears him. Now again, God has to see our faith. Anyone who's been given a trust must prove your faithfulness. So you have to prove it through your actions. I don't know anything about your story or how God has seen your faith. As Jesus says to the men dropping the paralyzed man, I have seen your faith, when Jesus saw their faith. So those are just some things I want you to give consideration to, and just trust God. Put the pressure on the Father. He wants you to do it. Your responsibility is to abide in him. God's responsibility is to speak. And when he knows you're ready, he'll speak. Get in that word, read it slowly, and say, Father, speak to me. And you know, God can guide you to the exact scripture. He knows how to guide you to the exact scripture. He knows where every verse in the Bible is. He can guide you to the exact one you need to hear. I literally have seen it because it's required. The grace for my mission is maybe a little different than somebody else's. So God's given me extra grace in this area to hear from him clearly, to follow him into this mission. Okay? So whatever God's need is for your life, God will give you the grace. And part of that grace is he'll give you these amazing providential guidance to certain scriptures to help you know, this is God speaking to me. And one other point I want to make, spiritual receptivity. You have to be receptive to it. You have to be looking for the burning bush. You have to be looking for the providence of God and the circumstances of God. You have to show God that you want to hear, not just about who your spouse is. Because honestly, if there's any one thing I have found out from marrying my wife, that this is far less important to God than I ever dreamed possible. Final thing, seek first the kingdom of God. Find God as your first husband. Let him be your father, your Abba, your best friend, your love, your lover, your savior. Find yourself in full delight in him. You will never find a man who will meet the deepest needs of your heart. So God bless you, dear sister. Thank you so much for reaching out. And I hope that somewhat encourages you to look for God to speak to you specifically. Bye-bye.